You are listening to a message from City Church, located in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. For more information on City Church, or for additional resources, including service times, recommended readings, and additional audio, please visit citychurchpa.org.
Luke chapter 1, verse 26, and I'm going to read, and then we're going to get going. Luke chapter 1. This is what it says. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. So this 6 month is it's the 6 month when Elizabeth is pregnant. So this is a... And the angel was sent to Gabriel from Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." And she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. For of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And therefore the child will be born and will be called Holy, and the Son of God. Behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. This is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." This is the God of miracles we were singing about earlier on. "And Mary said, 'Behold, I am your servant, the servant of the Lord, and they let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." Amen. And so we're starting a series, just as we're drawing towards Christmas, we're starting a series that we call The King Amongst Us. The King Amongst Us. And when you really get to who Jesus is, when you get to know who Jesus is, this is a season. Christmas time is a season when we get to be reminded once again who Jesus is. And we get to, it's almost like a time where we get to renew our vows to Jesus and get to really get to see him for who he is. And this is what our goal is all about, that Jesus who died on the cross, rose from the dead, who rules and reigns right now, he is our King who's among us. And so there are names of Jesus that I love. There are names of Jesus that I love. And I'm going to mention some of them here. Jesus is called the Alpha and the Omega. Means that he's the beginning and he's the end. There's nothing that happens in between that he doesn't rule over. Right? He's called the Lord of Lords, means that he is Lord over all. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, right? I always ask him, and I've never been disappointed because he keeps roaring into my situations and they change, amen? He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's an advocate. It means that Jesus is like a lawyer for us, like what 1 John says. He stands on our behalf and pleads our case before God. That's why you can't plead your own case. Right? He's an advocate. Not only that, he's the chief cornerstone. He is the one that holds it together, just like these pillars are. He is the one who holds it together. It means that without Jesus, everything crumbles. everything crumbles. He is the Redeemer. He's the one who gives his life to redeem us back. He is the head of the church, right? He's the head of the church. I might be the pastor, but he is what? The chief shepherd of the church. He is the author and the finisher. He's the light of the world. He is the rose of Sharon. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the Lamb of God, right? When we couldn't sacrifice for ourselves, God sent Jesus to be our sacrifice for us. He is the resurrection and the life, meaning that if we trust in him, we are no longer accountable for our sins anymore. We are resurrected with him, and we get to share life with him for all eternity. Amen? But amongst all those, I love these ones, that he is the King of Kings. He's the King of Kings. He's the King of Saints. And but not only that, that he is also the King among us. God with us. This is what Isaiah 7:14 says. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall come and conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. That means God is with us. I love that one because it says that the King is amongst us. God will give himself so that he could be among us. And I love, if you're reading the Bible and you're observant a lot, you will see that God's desire has always been to be with his people. His desire has always been with his people from creation. When he creates us, the Bible says he comes and he walks around, he fellowships with men, but man decides to do his own thing. He sins. And when man sins, man is separated with God. But when he's separated with God, it begins a journey from Genesis chapter 3:15. It begins a journey when God promises that I will give a seed and this son will come and he will crush what? The enmity between you and the serpent. And between us as well. He's going to send Jesus later on. He promises that we will be reconciled again. So God is going to go and he's going to find a man, Abraham, and he's going to start pursuing Abraham. And through him, he says, through you, through your seed, all the nations will be blessed. And from there, he begins this journey where God is getting closer and closer to his people. He will send Moses again. When Moses comes and rescues his people, God moves from the top of the mountain, comes in a tabernacle, right in the middle, in a tent, right? He comes and dwells in the middle of his people. And from there, God moves and he starts talking to his people through prophets. As these prophets are talking, they're saying, but God is coming and he's going to come and he's going to be with us. And his main point is to be in us and live amongst us. This is what the whole Bible is all about. The prophets are going to be saying, he will send a son and he will be God with us and God is going to be with us. But if you read your Bible very well, you are going to get to see that Jesus comes and as God with us, he comes. But after he's resurrected, he leaves and he says, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to become God in you. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit and he will come and he'll be in you. But not only that, I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to prepare a place and I'm praying like John 17, he's going to say, Father, where I am, I desire them to be with me. And he's going to go prepare a place. And one of these days, he's going to come back and he's going to take us home and he's going to be with us for eternity. God's plan has always been to be with his people. To be with his people. That's a beautiful. I just walked you from Genesis to Revelation right now, right? We should just have baby dedication and go, right? It's always been God wanting to be with his people, created us in his image to love and for us to be the objects of his love. Amen? And so here, as we get to see here, the meaning of Advent, this season that we're is celebrating God's coming and restoring our relationship with him. And so we're going to get to see, and this is the baby announcement. We're going to look at the announcement of this, of Jesus coming into the earth. And it is so humbling that Jesus had to come and had to come as a baby here on earth. And trust himself through the natural processes of birth and of growing and doing all that so that he could be God with us, right? So let's look at the announcement. Look at verse 26. It's an announcement of God. This is God. This is God being a missionary God. It's an announcement of his faithfulness to the mission of being with us. And look at verse 26, and then says that in the sixth month, the angel Angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city called Galilee, city of Galilee named Nazareth. You get to see it is God sending one of his special envoys, sending him to come. And this is the missionary God who's coming in and he's wanting to initiate. He did that first. This is after 400 years of silence between Micah and this time. It's 400 years of silence. God finally breaks the silence and he comes and he is being a missionary God. We just got done with Jonah, where God's heart is shone through Jonah. This is God pursuing the undeserving, coming for us. Where Jonah said no, Jesus said yes. Where Jonah said no, Jesus said yes. And we're going to get to see even later where Jonah said no, Mary said yes. In verse 38, she said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." This is Mary knowing that it's going to cost her everything. She's going to be looked down on. My son, Jesus, later on, the Pharisees are going to go up to him and say, we were not born out of wedlock. They're going to just call. Jesus has a stigma going on her. Mary has to lose even her reputation of, "I've been a virgin of my life, all my life. But you know what? For you, God, I'm going to be a servant." And this is where some of us need to be at some point. "God, even if it costs me my reputation, when you say, arise and go, will I go? Yes or no?" That's the question, right? That's the question. So it's a picture of his faithfulness. It's an announcement of his faithfulness. It's a God who's always wanted to be with his people, has finally broke the silence, and he's come for his people. It's an announcement of his graciousness. It's of his grace. Look at verse 28. It says that, and the angel comes and he says to him, it says to Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." Greetings, O favored one. And if in fact, when you read it in the original language, in the literal sense of this, it says, "Grace, you are highly graced." Grace, you've been highly graced. And this was like, this is announcing not just to Mary, right? This is announcing that God, the day of grace has come. The day of unmerited favor has come. The day of us walking to God without a righteousness of our own, with empty hands, and we can now be considered children of God, has come. And he was not announcing that just only to Mary, but he was saying it was an inauguration of grace on that day. And not only that, Mary needed grace to be used as a vessel. She needed grace. Although she was a godly woman, it was God's grace, not Mary's character, right, that made her God's choice at this time. So Mary is blessed amongst women, not above women. Right? She's blessed amongst women, not above women. Right? In such a way that we're going to turn her into an idol and we worship her. No, she is. The announcement to her first was grace. You have been highly graced. And you know, that's actually what Jesus, what the Bible says about us, says the saints. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, "To the praises of his glorious grace, which you have been what? He has blessed us in his beloved." It says that God in Christ has highly graced you and me. It's not a cheap grace. It didn't come cheap. It's a costly grace, but yet a free grace.
You and I have been highly graced. I always say this. The day grace stops being amazing to you, it's no longer grace at all. The day it stops being amazing grace, right? That saves a wretch. I'll be the first one, just like Paul would say, God came to save sinners. Christ came to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. He did it to make me a display. That's what he's doing to us, to make us a display. What is the church but a display? And so that when people say, if he did it to him, he could do it to me as well. So we are all displays of his grace. That's why we cannot boast about anything. Right? And it's also an announcement of his goodness. Verse 28 again, and he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid. Anytime you see that in the Bible, it means that she was scared. Right? Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. You have found favor with God. That word, the Lord is with you, in the Old Testament, it's used all over for persons that are chosen by God for a special purpose of in salvation history. And it's also an assurance that I'm going to be with you. What's mine is yours. But not only that, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to be with you. And in fact, the gospel in a nutshell is do not be afraid. You want to know who to be afraid of first? Is any time God visited you, you would be afraid that that would be your last day. That's why most of us, what we're scared of anything. I love it when people say, hey, only God can judge me. I'm like, yes, you're right. But I don't think you want that either. Right? I don't think you want that either. Right? And that's why I love that. Only God can judge me. Yes, he is the only one who can judge me. But I'm going to hide behind the cross because at the cross, he's already judged me. Right? He's already judged me. And so he says, do not be afraid. Anytime an angel came, it was at some point you might just drop dead and that was it. But God is saying, no, 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 I've come. Do not fear. Do not fear. And this is the good news that Jesus has come to us with. He casts away all fear, like in John chapter 4. Perfect love, when it has come, it casts all fear away and welcomes you in. Welcomes you in as children of God. Welcomes you in. And then you get to see, and not only that, the Lord is with you. We get to see almost like a reverberation of that when God, when Jesus, after he has died and he has risen, he says to his disciples, go and make disciples, and I am going to be with you. That's why obedience to God, when God has called us to make disciples, like, do you know what you're missing out on? When God sends us on a mission, like what we said in Jonah, he's extending grace to you. He's extending you to an extended fellowship with him. There is a fellowship with him that you will never experience until you're obeying him and you're going where he's sending you to go. That's where he's going to give you his abundant, abundant presence. Not only that, his protection as well is there. This is what he was saying to Mary. I'm going to be with you. What I'm about to say is going to cost you, Mary, of your reputation. It's going to cost you of everything. But don't forget this. The Lord is with you. Don't forget this. The Lord is with you. Right? The Lord is with you. And then her heart just calms down. And I love that because grace removes fear from troubled hearts. When grace comes in, it removes fear. And I love this because God is sending him. And so for some of us, maybe we're struggling with how could that be grace when God is actually sending him?
love one of the theologians, David Garland, says this: grace is not limited simply to receiving mercy and forgiveness. This is where we've been in Jonah. Grace is not only limited to simply receiving mercy and forgiveness. Finding grace with God means that God entrusts her with something great to do and to bear. And finding grace with God, it's an honor to carry the good news of Jesus. It's an honor to be a church on mission. Amen? And this is where Mary finds the goodness of God. This is where we find the goodness of God. And I love this because when God sends us on a mission, he's extending a grace in us and through us. And he begins a good work in us, right? Begins a good work. I love that because God began a good work in Mary. Even though she didn't have a big picture of what this is. In fact, the Bible is going to actually leave us with Mary always pondering, thinking deeply. She doesn't have a full picture yet. Doesn't have a full picture yet of what. Just imagine this. If God was to walk up to Mary and say, you're going to have a baby. And after you have that baby, he's going to be taken. They're going to beat him. They're going to scourge him. They're going to tear him apart. They're going to hang him on a cross. And he's going to be just bleeding. He's going to suffer beyond everything. Can you imagine what that would have meant? If I was Mary, I'd be like, man, as soon as that baby comes out, I'm out of there. Mary would have been another Jonah. But God just works with her. She's pondering. And I love that because in Acts chapter 1, we find her still trying to understand who Jesus is. And we see the Holy Spirit falling on her for her to finally understand that my son is now seated on the heavenlies. Right? So it's an announcement of God's grace, announcement of his faithfulness and his goodness upon us. He begins a good work and he continues a good work. And now we come to, who is this baby? The baby reveal, right? Who is this baby? This is the part where the angel basically is holding whatever it is, whether it's a cake, where you're going to get to see what's in there. It's blue inside or it's pink. What is this? Is this going to be like the sprinkles? Is this what? Whatever it is, like, man, people get creative with that stuff, right? This is where the baby reveal is. And look at verse 31. The grace she has received is a gift of a son. That's what grace has been to us. God has given us his son, Jesus. For God so loved the world that he has given what? Us, his own son. That whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Look at God paints that picture here. The grace that he has given. Verse 31, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name who? Jesus. So God reveals who Jesus is. And I want you to kind of follow with me some of these sovereign accessions. This is God saying, this is who he will be. This is who he will be. It's not like he's not just kind of beating around the bushes here. He's saying, this is who my son is going to be. So he's going to be Mary's son, even though Mary is a virgin. So we're introduced to the virgin birth. And Luke is a historian, and he presents this as a historical fact, right? And Mary said to the angel, look at verse 34, and verse 34, Mary said to the angel, how will this be, right? How will this be, since I am a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, right? The Holy Spirit will come upon you. God gives her the plan of how this is going to happen. Hey, the Holy Spirit is going to cover her. He's going to come upon you, right? He's going to cover her, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God, right? And Mary's like, this is impossible. Like, how is this going to happen? And God gives her a proof here, a proof of like, if I can resurrect dead wombs, I can give life to a new womb.
And behold, this is proof. Your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. I gave her that son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. Right? Throughout the Old Testament, you're getting to see there's Sarah. Sarah who's barren, and God promises her a baby. And she's around 80-something years old. She's like just, and it says God gave her a son. Right? And then we have Hannah, who doesn't have a baby as well, and God gives her a son. We have Jacob's mother, right? And so you get to see this. Joseph and Benjamin's mother, Rachel, she's barren, and God gives her a child. God has been working through dead wombs all this time, and for the first time, he's showing, I still have the creative power to bring him about. Why? Because he's special. He is my son. Mary's going to say, man, how is this even possible? How is this possible? And God gives her, this is how it's going to happen. For nothing will be impossible with God. Nothing will be. And listen, if you don't believe that that is possible, if you don't believe that is possible, then you probably might not even believe that God could take your heart and turn it around and create a new you. But thank God, he's a God of miracles, right? Right? You get to see now revelation of his name. You will call his name Jesus. And that name Jesus, if you look at Matthew 1:21, it says, she will bear a son, the same name, and you shall call his name Jesus. And Matthew gives us a little bit of like the meaning of the name Jesus. For what? For he will save his people from their sins. This is what he is coming. He has a saving mission from day one. Jesus had a saving mission from day one. And later on, he's going to say it in Luke chapter 19, verse 10. He's going to say, for the Son of Man came to seek and save what? Those who are lost. So this is now the Advent here. As we're celebrating Christmas for you, I hope it's not just gifts. I hope you're celebrating the fact that God sent his Son who was going to come and save us from the wrath to come. Right? So that whosoever believes in him will not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. And so my plea for you today is, where are you? Are you still carrying your own sins, or have you taken your sins and cast them on Jesus? Because that's what he came for. If you hold on to your sins, you have no use for Jesus. Right? He's going to come. His name is going to be Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 10, it says Jesus, he is the one who was raised from the dead, and he delivers us from the wrath to come. Right? Right? There's a song that says, seek him now, and you will know him as Savior. Seek him later, you will know him as Judge. Right? Today is a day of salvation. That's what the Bible says. Can you allow him to save you? The Advent, this time, while they make it about gifts and all these other things, for us, it's a reminder that Jesus still saves lives. To us, it's a reminder that Jesus still saves lives. Can you let him save yours? He paid for your sins. Why are you still carrying them again and again? Just give up your life to him, and you will see that he has life and life eternal for you. I love this because it says that, for he will be great. He will be great. And look at this. He will be great. And this is the word that is used to describe God in passages like Deuteronomy 10, chapter 17. And in fact, in all of Isaiah, in different scriptures, this is the word that is used to describe God himself. But it's also used of Jesus. It's also used of Jesus in passages like Titus chapter 2, verse 13. But and what we get to see here is that he's going to be great. He's going to be great. And later on, Jesus in Luke chapter 22, verse 26, he's going to now describe to you what true greatness is like. He's going to find his disciples. They're fighting over who's great. They're fighting on who's going to sit next to him in heaven. They're fighting on who's going to sit. And Jesus is going to say to them, he's going to say, listen, whosoever is great, he's going to be the servant of all. Just let me read you that. Luke chapter 22. He says, whosoever is great is going to be a servant. He's going to be a servant. Let me read it to you. And a dispute arose amongst them on which of them will be regarded as the greatest. Verse 24. And he said to them, the kings and Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those in authority over those that are called them that are benefactors. But not so with you, not so as disciples. Rather, the greatest amongst you become as the youngest, the leader as one who serves. For whosoever is greater, who is greater, the one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I am amongst you as the one who serves. Jesus came, he's going to be great, yes, but he's going to come as what? The servant king. His greatness is going to be seen in him serving, and it's going to be seen in him laying down his life. Mark, John chapter 10, 45, this is him laying down his life as ransom for all people. This is how his greatness is going to be expressed, by him dying for the ones that he loves, right? The kings are asking people to serve them, right? The kings are asking people to serve them, but our king is going to serve his people. The kings would ask their commanders there to go to war on their behalf, but our king is on the forefront of the battlefield, and he takes the bullet for us, right? He takes the bullet for us. Some of you guys probably might still remember this. I always just say, Bruno Mars says, I will take a grenade for you. But our king took what? A grenade for us, for real. Right? He says, a hired shepherd will run in the face of trouble. But I'm not a hired shepherd. I lay my life for the sheep. Let me tell you this. Do you know what your value is? Your value isn't, whenever you really doubt your value, look at what the cross says about you. The cross says that you are at the worst you could ever be. You are a sinner that deserves death. And he is dying your death. But the cross says you are loved more than you'll ever imagine. Because God emptied what? The jewel, heaven of its jewel. Emptied the light of, and if you read Revelation, Jesus is no longer the suffering king on the cross. He is now the ruling king. He is now the king of kings, who is the light of the world, who's lighting up the city, right? He's now the king of kings, and you get to see this is who God gave for you in order for you to spend eternity with him. He loves you. He has passionate love for you. Amen. It says he will be great. But greatness in the kingdom is becoming a servant. That's why us as Christians, the best way, it's not seeking power. It's actually becoming servants in the house of God, serving our neighbors, going on mission and serving. By being a servant, we're just becoming like Jesus. Because greatness is not found way at the top. It's found at the bottom. Amen. He'll be called what? The Son of the Most High. He'll be called the Son of the Most High. And this right here, it's referring to, and this is not just like, it's referring to who Jesus is and at his core, because the Most High is God himself. Bible's going to really, he's called the Most High God. He's going to be the Son of the Most High. He is not a king that has been anointed. He's the king who is conceived a king. He's been king from the beginning. And so he is God become flesh. He has come to die on behalf of his people. He is God become flesh. And look at this. He's not only king. He's not God, only just God become flesh. He is the rightful king. The Lord will give him the throne. He will give him the throne of his father David, and he will occupy the throne of David over the 12 tribes in Revelation. You're going to see that. He's gonna come and become the rightful king because Joseph is born right in the line of kings. He is born in the line of David, and then so Jesus is gonna become, he is the descendant of David, the rightful king. So even as he's being born, he is the rightful king. But not only that, he is the covenant king. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. This is him who God promised through Abraham, through you all nations will be blessed. So it's not only Mary who is highly favored and blessed. It's what? Everybody who believes in this son, who's what? Who is graced. That word blessed, it's favor, unmerited favor. It's grace at its best. Through you, all nations will be graced. Amen? Through you, all nations will be graced. And not only that, he is king forever. So he rules forever. And his kingdom, it says that of his kingdom, there will be no end. I want to read you what Romans 14, verse 11 to 12 says. As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Right? This is speaking of the fact that one of these days we're going to have to pay, we're going to give an account before God. He is the ruling king. So I want to apply these things just in a couple of ways today to us. As we see, the king is among us. What does the presence of the king among us mean? It means that God's power is not something belonging only to the past history, but it is also at work in the present. God's power is also at work in the present. He is not only just a baby in the manger. He is not only just a crucified Savior. He is the risen Savior. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And today, he is still our King. He is the King among us, Emmanuel, God with us. And he is still on a mission to save. So for us, we're not only just talking about stories that are in history, we're talking about the king who's present today. What does that mean for you today? Do you know there's a God who's among us, who you can pray to and speak to, and he'll be available for you? Jesus, who rules and reigns. I love this because the Bible says that he's not only ruling, but he daily leads intercession for you. It's not only because of what he has done, but it's also for what he's doing for you today. So it's not only just a celebration for the Son who takes away sins from us. It's a celebration of the Son who continually is doing good in us every single day. This is where we anchor our faith, saints. Right? That now, because Jesus is with us, if he is for us, who shall be against us? Right? Where human possibilities fail, God's actions still stand boldly. Right? Where all our possibilities, right? Where it's impossible, God says it is possible. The king amongst us wants to be the king in us. Right? He wants to be the king in us and rule and reign in us, walk with us on a daily basis. Today, you are just as highly graced as the day it was announced he was coming into the earth. Today, you can be highly graced and your life can change. Amen? Amen. His grace removes fear from troubled hearts. Right? What are you scared about today? Is it your livelihood? Is it? And Jesus, that's where he's going to come in Matthew 6. He's going to say, listen. Your father knows what you need. And so he's no longer a God who's far away from us. He's a God with us. And he knows exactly what you need. What do you need today? I pray today this will strengthen you to kneel down and to pray to him and ask him to come through. Because why? Because he's a king with us. Amen? And he says this in Romans 8, if God is for us, who can be against us? We're going to Romans 8 in January, and I'm excited about that. It's like, if God is for us, if he is for you, and he is your shield, your strength, your power, your wisdom, and your protector, and the one who blesses you, tell me who can be against you. Love Isaiah 40, he says, who can you compare me with? Let him come into the ring and box me for a minute, right? If he is for you, who can be against you, right? And for some of us, learn greatness in the heavenly way. Let's look at our Savior who comes and serves us from the bottom. And let's learn from this day onwards that our ambition is not to search for positions, but our ambition is to serve, right? And not only that, the life of a Christian is living every day under the reign of Jesus, looking forward to his full reign one of these days. So my question for you today is this. Is your whole life submitted to this King? Is your whole life submitted to the King of Kings? Let me pray for us. Right where you're seated, if there's any good day, submitting your life under the King of Kings is like Jesus becomes like, when he's saying, do not be, for I am with you, he's promising protection. It's almost like you're coming underneath. In fact, this is what, he will hide you under the what? The shadow of his wings. He's going to treat you like mother hen treats like what? The chicks, hides them, right? This is what Isaiah 91, this is what Psalm 91, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High shall abide. He'll what? He'll be hidden under the shadow of his wings. The beauty about having a king over you, King Jesus, is that all of a sudden you don't have to worry about your sins anymore because he's our Savior. All of a sudden you don't have to worry about today and tomorrow. He says that I will take care of you. If I take care of the lilies and take care of the sparrows, I take care of all that, I'll take care of you. You don't have to worry about, you don't have to fear anymore about what might come. Because if he is for you, whether you lose everything, your reputation, everything, he says, as long as I'm for you, nothing will be against you. But the beauty about it all is that our King is coming. And he's going to come one of these days, and he's going to reconcile everything. Erase all pain, all death, all suffering, everything. But when he comes, are you going to be found underneath the canopy of his grace, or are you going to be found outside? Let me pray for us. Jesus, I just pray for my brothers and sisters. I pray for those that don't know you, God, that this will be a moment where, Lord, they can say, yes, I welcome your grace in my life today. I realize you've already done everything. But Lord, I'm praying for believers, God. People that have been following you for a long time. God, come and rekindle the fire. Come and rekindle our hearts. Let us fall in love with you once again. And Lord, let us not be found amongst those that you say in Revelation, you have walked away from your first love. Help us to stay as your first love. Help us to prioritize you. Lord, today help us to flesh it out. What does it mean for our lives to live under your rule and reign, to call you King and Lord of our lives? What does it look like for our bodies, our everything that we treasure to be submitted to you? And God, give us the joy of submitting to you. It's in your name we pray. We thank you that you are King amongst us. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from City Church, located in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. For additional information, please visit citychurchpa.org.